Saturday night. It's open mind. I'm Bill Jenkins, and you're going to need one tonight. Because we probably are going to sort of brush ever so lightly so many things that have been brushed in some detail here before. But one of the finest masters of weaving these tales, and they're not just tales, but they're the results of a lot of science, a lot of research, a lot of know-how, and a lot of experience, is encoring tonight on Open Mind. He's Dr. Andrea Pahavich. He will be speaking to us on our conference line in just a moment. And one of the very first men in this world to discover Andrea Pahavich and the work that he was doing up in Ossinger, New York, and around in the realm of psychic research and psychic phenomena and UFOs and ELF and all of those Open Mind things, was a good friend of ours, Alan Vaughn. Alan, welcome to Open Mind.
Good to be here, Bill.
Hit the red button over there. There you go.
Good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about what you know of Andrea.
Well, I first met Andrea back in 1969 in New York City. At that time, he was working on an open heart, on an apparatus to substitute for the heart, artificial heart. Mm-hmm. And so we talked through the night there at Bellevue Hospital, and he's telling me about his explorations with Arago in Brazil, and his pursuit of UFOs, some fascinating work on healing. And over the years, well, when he went to Israel, he said, I'm going to look for UFOs. Uh-huh. And he came back with Uri Geller and UFOs.
He found Uri Geller.
And by the early 70s, I was editor of Psychic Magazine, so I was able to do the first story in Uri Geller and an interview, and then also an interview with Andrea Pahavich. I felt that this work was probably the most important that was going on in parapsychology. Well, yeah, you know, he once played sort of a mad scientist, a parapsychologist on the Perry Mason show years and years ago. And his hair is a little wild sometimes. He has the most extraordinary imagination. He's a maverick in the field. But I've discovered that almost every new thing that comes into parapsychology, Andre's there first somehow.
Andrea Pahavich, are you for real? You're on, Andre.
Bill?
Yes.
Hey, Bill, good talk to you.
All right, glad. We were just talking about you. Were your ears burning?
Yeah, who is that talking? I didn't recognize the voice.
Hi, this is Alan Vaughn, Andrea.
Alan Vaughn, God bless you. Lovely to hear from you.
Good to hear you, too.
Oh, listen, I'm going to see you out in California when I get out there on the 18th, 19th, I hope.
But we're excited about that.
Well, everybody's kind of planning on you being.
Well, that's terrific. I look forward to seeing you.
Well, we have so many things to discuss tonight with this audience, Andrea. Where would you like to start? What do you do? What's the most dramatic thing that's happening? Not that everything isn't.
Well, you know, from my point of view, I'm sitting in my lab and I'm doing little things here and little things there. And I never know what's dramatic and what might be a clunker, you know. The thing that's got me very excited and busy now, I've been working for a number of years on the whole problem of what I call ELF, that's extremely low frequency magnetic waves that are being used in modern warfare and that are also psychoactive, and that they modify behavior at a distance without the person being aware that anything is going on. And I've been so concerned about that for 8 years that I determined that by hook or crook, I'm going to make some kind of a device that's going to be a personal shield for an individual so they cannot be damaged or hurt by these ELF waves.
And, well, we've certainly seen the ELF phenomenon going on. That's associated with the woodpecker signals and the things that we have discussed in many occasions.
Yes.
How does this differ from the new thing that's being thrown at us from over there? That's the scalar wave.
Well, actually, it's pretty much the same sort of thing. It's just new terminology. But basically, Nikola Tesla invented all this in 1900.
Yes.
And really discovered the scalar nature of these waves that the Soviets really copied from Tesla's work. And it was really due to the brilliant detective work of our friend Tom Bearden, who really identified them as scalar waves. So we're talking about the same thing, different terminology.
Well, one seems to be more of a potential energy that is being leveled at us, where the ELF is a kinetic wave.
Yes, you're quite right in that in order to get a scalar wave to be kinetic, you have to intersect two of them, set up an interference pattern, and where the interference pattern occurs is where you get your kinetic effect. But we're still talking about the same basic phenomena in the Soviet ELF transmissions. For example, in order to get their ELF transmitters to be effective in this so-called warfare that's going on, they usually have to use two of them, each one being a scalar beam, and that way they steer where the effect is going to occur. If they want to drop it on New York, they get a phase array, so-called, of two of these transmitters. They have a number of them around the Soviet Union. So it really isn't that big a distinction in terms of net effect.
I tell you what, we're getting a little interference on a bad telephone line, Andrea.
Uh-oh.
What we're going to do, we're going to take a break here, and I'm going to get us to try another line with you.
Yeah,
and we'll be right back.
Okay.
I know that Alan is chomping at the bit to interview you again.
I'd love to talk to Alan. Can I hang up the phone then?
Yeah, you hang up, and we'll get right back to you. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Paharich, along with Alan Vaughn, who's a guest in studio with me tonight. Just to give you an idea, we'll be discussing the scalar wave. We'll be discussing the crystal skull, but a little different one than Nick Messerina would talk about next week. That's the Mitchell Hedges skull. We have some other skulls we want to get into. Andrea knows a great deal about those. Our old friend, the UFO, certainly psychic phenomena. He was very instrumental in the development of the abilities of Greta Woodrow, who will be with us the latter part of January. In fact, she will be in town. Oh, a lot of things. A lot of things are going to happen tonight. So stay with us. I'm Bill Jenkins. Help is Alan Vaughn. Alan, tonight, will be playing a different role than he usually does when he visits with us, because he's now the interrogator, the inquisitor, the investigator, because we want to interrogate and investigate one of the finest interrogators and investigators in the world, and those things that are so near and dear to us on Open Mind, and that is Dr. Andrea Paharich. I have words of welcome to you, Andrea, from an old friend of yours, Greta Woodrow.
Oh, thank you. She's a love.
She is? She will be here the last week in January.
Oh, that's terrific.
And she said to give you her love. And
yeah.
She certainly remembers that Faraday cage.
Nobody can ever forget one.
And she is still bending spoons and shrinking metal and doing all of those wonderful things.
And healing.
And certainly healing.
Yeah.
She will be giving a workshop on healing, showing you how to do it, and to bring us all here in Southern California up to date on the marvelous work that she has been doing. Alan, your turn.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Alan.
How you doing?
Oh, great.
I hear rumors now that you've got a special watch that protects people from ELF.
Do you want me to describe it quickly for you?
Yeah, I'd be very interested.
What it is, essentially, it's a quartz type of watch. And I developed a magnetic chip circuit that goes inside and satellites onto the quartz oscillator circuit. And that puts out a steady beat of 8 hertz, or 8 cycles per second, a magnetic wave. And it slowly builds up around the body in kind of like a cocoon fashion.
Hmm.
And we've got all kinds of very hard scientific experiments where we can measure the magnetic field on a person before they put the watch on, and we see a broad spread of frequencies, because almost everything in our environment puts out some degree or other of ELF. And it turns out, to explain what ELF does, we have pretty clear evidence that ELF goes directly for the nucleus of every cell and selectively activates specific portions of the DNA, we know, which is the master molecule of life that guides all of our chemical and other activities. And so that's why it's dangerous. So the circuit I've developed, which incidentally I call the Teslar, T-E-S-L-A-R, in honor of Tesla, kind of started all this about 80 years ago. And the Teslar, when you wear it, it's takes a few hours to build up this field around you absolutely prevents any ELF from getting at the nuclei of your cells and causing a lot of damage all the way from mild behavioral disturbance up to very serious diseases.
Well, tell me, Andrea, in your estimation, because we have been detecting here recently in the Southern California area a very strong pulse of 5 hertz.
Yeah.
In the scalar band.
Right.
What does that do to the nucleus of the cells?
That releases what are called cholinergic type of chemicals, which in turn cause depression. And that effect occurs from about 5.0 hertz to about 6.66 hertz. And it's really a very bad frequency in terms of causing really alarming states of depression if those who are sensitive.
We need to point out where those 5 hertz waves are coming from. The Soviet Union. And they're being done deliberately.
Yeah, well, you know, the Soviets have been bombarding us ever since 1976, July 4th to be specific. And a number of nations now have ELF warfare going on. The bad thing about it is it's so covert, you don't have to declare war. The Soviet Union has never admitted that they are bombarding, let's say, the U.S. and certain portions of it on a daily basis. And the U.S. has never admitted publicly that we are bombarding the Soviet Union. And this kind of stuff goes on. And when you're in areas like the United Nations in New York and you have the kind of sensitive detection equipment that I use, you can go around in a perimeter about a half a mile and see the tremendous amount of warfare going on between different countries. And so it's a very insidious and vicious thing, in my opinion.
Could you get really closer to your microphone, Andrea? We still have that bad line.
Oh, sorry. I'm choking it. Am I okay now?
That's better.
Okay. Sorry about that.
I do have some good news for you, though.
Yeah.
But a major contract was left with a major aerospace firm here in Southern California during the course of the last 10 days to begin preliminary research into scalar interferometry.
Hooray, that's the first breakthrough I've heard in a long time.
I think the company probably said, say what? But, you know, they'll take the contract and go on with it as much as they can, probably using Tom's work and your work and some of the other as the basis for
it. Yeah, really, Tom has been the great pioneer in punching through all the mystery of the ELF signals. And he and I have been buddies on this project for about 8-9 years now.
Well, Andre, is there any magazine or journal reference you could give us about this, or is it still in the covert stage?
Actually, the only real reference that our government, the U.S. government, has released is a videotape made in 1984, if I'm not mistaken, by Eldon Byrd, who is chief of biological effects of ELF for the U.S. Navy. And that can be ordered from the headquarters of the U.S. Psychotronic Association in Chicago. And I'll dig up the address and telephone. I think it's $40 for the videotape. And that's the best documentation I know about.
Hey, great.
I mean, there's other literature. I'll give you a small example of how confusing some of this literature is. The World Health Organization, this spring, 1986, released a full-scale publication, about a 100-page journal, entitled Extremely Low-Frequency Waves. And half the contributors were Russian, and half of them were Americans. I know all the American scientists, and I know all the American scientists work on classified projects on the ELF for the U.S. government. And if you go through that publication from cover to cover, you will not find one mention of ELF warfare. And my conclusion from reading that is that it's very simple, that the U.S. and the USSR have some kind of a tacit gentleman's agreement, you know, and nobody's going to mention that this dirty stuff exists. Now, if you will just take down this number, this is the number of Mr. Robert Beutlich, spelled B-E-U-T-L-I-C-H. And he is the Secretary-Treasurer of the United States Psychotronic Association, which publishes the videotape of Eldon Byrd. And his number, are you ready to write this down?
We're writing.
Okay. Area code 312-728-0000. 8941. I think if anybody's interested, they should just write to Bob, and $40 is, I understand, the last price, and they'll get an extraordinary tape, which is a overview of everything going on in the U.S. government that, is not super classified.
Well, we don't want them to give away national security secrets, but there is a level of this information that the public needs to know about. They need.
Yes. You see, the reason the public has to know is that everyone is involved. It's just like radioactivity that spreads around the world from an accident in Soviet Union. Everybody should know about it. And I've been a very diligent propagandist for the last 8 or 9 years trying to get the public alert that there is a clear and present danger.
Well, one of the things that you're doing, I think, is important, that little wristwatch you have. I have a little device at my house that fills a room with an 8 hertz wave. Scalar.
That's pretty helpful.
Very helpful. In fact, the flowers will last about 2 weeks in that room.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? The other thing is if flowers are dying or drooping, you can just expose them to this 8 hertz signal, and they perk up.
They perk up right now.
Incidentally, you might be interested, Bill and Alan, that one of the really major discoveries I feel I've made in the last 3 years is, but as you both know, I've spent a lot of time going around the world looking at super healers.
People
who really have a track record. And I've been able to measure what comes off their hands when they do healing, particularly if it's laying on of hands healing. And every one of them that I've been able to measure on every continent puts out an 8 hertz ELF wave. And it was based on that that I was able to develop the watch as I hate to use the word, but as something that has a healing effect. In other words, it'll counter negative effects that you would get from being exposed to various frequencies of ELF.
Well, Andre, would this 8 hertz emission also affect the molecular structure of water?
Yes, that is something that was discovered, perhaps your memory is better than I, quite a while ago, by some work done by Doug Dean. I think it was about 10 years ago. And another fellow in Atlanta, Georgia, you remember his name?
Robert Miller, a chemist.
Robert Miller,
yeah.
Yes. So that finding has been around for a while, and the structure that's affected in water is that the bond angle of the OH, oxygen hydrogen, molecule of H2O or HOH is affected, and that is what resonates or puts out the 8 hertz signal out of water. This is a very interesting sideline. I found a fellow in Israel who is a healer, really quite remarkable, one of the best in Israel, and he found out quite by accident that if he put his hands around a bottle of water and then a patient drank it, they would get the same effect as they would if he personally put the, his hands on them. So I brought him over to the United States about 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was in fall of 83. And I had very sophisticated lab equipment, which I couldn't lug over to Israel. And I measured his imprinting of the 8 hertz signal on the water. And now I've been observing that water for 2.5 years, and it still retains the 8 hertz signal coming off of it. So that's very exciting stuff.
Well, that's remarkable. You might be interested to know that here in Los Angeles, the Mobius Society just did an experiment with 14 healers treating water.
Yes.
And this experiment was incredibly significant.
Yes.
Like 2,500 to 1 odds.
Yeah, it's the same kind of work, exactly.
Yeah, replicating Douglas Dean's work, essentially.
Right.
Well, I have a new thing for treating water for you.
Yeah.
Brand new. Working with it right now. And we'll get to that in just a second. My guest tonight on the conference line is Dr. Andrea Paharich. So happy to have him back for an encore with us tonight. In studio with me is Alan Vaughn, psychic researcher, psychic himself. Oh, all kinds of things. Author, lecturer. Delighted to have him here. It's Open Mind. An area that's going to require you to have somewhat of an open mind and to lead you along the way. One of the masters in the field. Speaking on our conference line tonight is Dr. Andrea Paharich. And with me in studio is one of the nation's finest psychic researchers and just investigators into all of these wonderful things we like to get into and present to you on the table, this forum, this seminar we have every Saturday night that we call Open Mind. Andrea, I was going to talk to you about some water work for a second. Our good friend John Bedini has developed an interesting new technique of using Scalar to develop a new kind of control ring on the magnets. And he has produced a magnet that actually resonates at 10,000 hertz. And we have stuck that little magnet in the spa at home. And now we have to use nothing in there at all. Of course, the crystals were working well, but we don't even have to use the coagulants now. It just throws everything out of the water. Surface tension has been dropped about 60%.
Well, John, and I think he's a brilliant scientist, and we need more people like him. Got to get his work out.
But you can take any kind of water, just put it in a glass and stick it in top of the standing waves that magnet develops.
Yes.
And it has purified it in a matter of 5 or 6 seconds.
Yeah, that's incredible, isn't it? That's because it acts on the magnetic dipoles, or little magnets, every proton in water, you know, which is hydrogen, reacts to that kind of a field.
Well, he is coming from another point of view here on magnetism. Andrea, I don't know whether you are aware of it or not, but he's pretty well convinced that magnetic lines of force are interdimensional.
Yes, I believe that.
The fact is,
we believe that the kind of waves that we're talking about, like scalar waves, to be very precise, have a nine-dimensional characteristic. And
mm-hmm.
That seems to fit in very well with some of the most advanced thinking in modern science, which is what is called string theory. And I think his invention illustrates that very dramatically.
Well, he is certainly pulling energy from somewhere.
And
he is now convinced. He was perplexed about, you know, he's done it in many different kinds of ways.
Yes.
Where some of it was coming from. And it's pretty well established in his mind and in the research over there at his laboratory that they are attracting really energy from another dimension.
Yes.
Which boggles the mind of a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think we ought to form a society for the protection of John Bedini to keep him going, because he's doing such incredibly advanced work that there are going to be people around who will think, well, we got to get rid of this guy.
Well, that's already being taken care of, and indeed that's those attempts have been made on a couple of occasions, I'm sorry
yes.
to say.
Yes, we've all had a few little attentions like that, folks. Bill, would you mind if I mentioned about this these two seminars I'm giving out in California and L.A. particularly on October 18th and 19th?
Yeah, I'd mind, but go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to...
No, of course not. Go right ahead.
Yeah, anybody who's interested can just dial area code 213-393-9405. I'll repeat that, 213-393-9405, and they can get all the necessary information.
Well, let me add that on Saturday the 18th, Andrew, we're doing a seminar at the Marriott Hotel at LAX. And on the Sunday, the following day, is an intensive in which he gets into such deep things, we understand, as healing, psychic surgery, earth changes, UFOs, Uri Geller.
Andre,
you never run out of things.
Talk about all of these things?
Yes, that and a few more things.
I can imagine.
Things that you can't easily get into print, but you can say, because we can still speak freely in this country.
Well, I'm real curious about the your latest research or information on UFOs and UFO communications.
Let me just put it very simply. For some 33 years now, I've been in contact with some kind of advanced extraterrestrials. I have written a little bit about it, not too much, who are known as the Nine. And the Nine seem to pop through occasionally, and it's not a regular thing. Once there was a lapse of about 18 years between communications, and the communications, just so you understand, come in a number of different ways. They've come through several channels, human beings. The second mode is they seem to like to take over radio, telephone, television, usual kind of electronic modes of communication that we use, or even electronic typewriters.
Would they like to be a guest on my show?
Yeah, well, wouldn't that be something? I'll have to ask them.
All right.
Of course, I want you to understand they have no form. They're like pure space. You're speaking about interdimensional stuff. Anyway, I don't think you'd have... anyway, in person they wouldn't do well, but they could take over and gimmick your system. That would be okay. Anyway, that's the background.
You've got engineers that do that.
Yes, right. they're very concerned about man's incredible power, nuclear energy and that sort of thing, and the ELF, and also somewhat low state of development in high political office amongst people who have control of these kind of systems.
Seems to be upside down, doesn't it?
Pardon?
It seems to be upside down, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's, the way things are. And I've written about this in several books. There's one called Prelude to the Landing on Planet Earth, which goes into a lot of this stuff in detail. So I recently had a meeting in the group I work with, scattered around the world. We met in Austria this time. About 10 days ago, and we got an update on the planetary situation. And I must say, it's not very encouraging, because what it amounts to is that the planet is under heavy stress by starvation and flood and drought and, extremes of every natural thing you can think of, volcanoes and earthquakes and so on. And the record bears that out. That's no mystery. And they made a kind of a plea, and I'm passing it on for people to somehow straighten out their outlook on life and their consciousness and, try to be loving and helpful not only to other human beings but to animals and the planet Earth, and try to stop this ravage of the planet that's going on. So that's kind of the latest message that I'm very sincere about, and really would like to have people think about it seriously.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, and we, a little bit later, at about 10:30, are going to take a break in what we're doing to talk about an effort that kind of follows in that line that's going on. It's called A Million Minutes for Peace.
Yes, that's the kind of idea that should be put in effect.
They'll have a huge gathering at the Hollywood Bowl from 2 to 4 on
Wonderful.
October 18th.
Wonderful.
There will be a number of people there.
Yeah.
And it's very hard, Andrea, I think, for a lot of people to say that if you would just pledge a minute of your thoughts for peace, that you can do something viable. But I think we know that a thought can do something extremely viable, being that it's in the virtual state.
Yes.
It is a thing. It is energy.
Also, we know from a lot of unusual people on the planet now, and I mentioned Peter Hercus as another one, besides Uri Geller and a few others, their thoughts carry out actions at a distance that are quite incredible. Just for a small example, Uri Geller recently, a week ago, published a book about what he's been doing the last 10 years. And in that book, he revealed something which I've known for 14 years, that most of his work has really been in psychic warfare for the Israeli government, particularly the army. And that's been his secret life, and all this other stuff, the public stuff, and arguing with Randy and so on, is just a cover to make him look like an idiot. But when you understand some of the things that people like that can do, it is incredibly awe-inspiring, and everybody should feel that they have the capability of doing it. Therefore, an event like you're talking about for October 18th is what should be done all over the planet. People have incredible power that they don't realize.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
I certainly am going to be a part of it. And you're going to be in town. Maybe I can drag you down there and get you up on the stage at the Hollywood Bowl.
Absolutely. Love to come.
And get all of our friends out
there. Yes, we must.
I have a bunch of friends that are beginning to stack up on the telephone lines that want to talk to you.
Okay, let them roll.
All right, let them roll. Let me give the numbers here. In Los Angeles, a holistic kind of life that we should be living, the reality of the UFO, and I'll get him to touch for just a moment on the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull, if he will, when we return on Talk Radio 79.
Rich.
He's on our conference line from the East Coast, and in studio with me is Alan Vaughn. Andrea, tell us a little bit about the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull. We'll be doing a show next week on that with Nick Messerino.
Okay. I've worked with Miss Mitchell Hedges, who lives in Kitchener, Ontario, in Canada, for about the last 6 years. Whenever I get a chance, I go up there and continue my studies of the crystal skull. Now, basically, the skull has been studied by a lot of scientists. For example, Hewlett-Packard in California had the skull for about 6 years. Miss Mitchell Hedges is very generous about loaning the skull to people who are serious about studying it.
Mm-hmm.
And the main finding that they made was that they could not find any signs of tool marks on it. In other words, they don't know how it was fabricated.
We can't do it with our best technology.
No, we cannot do it. And that's one point. So since you can't find tool marks and so on, you can't really date it. So nobody knows how old it is.